bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba.
Hi everybody, it's me, Bill, and it's him, Dane. Dane is filling in for Wendy, who is out today, out tomorrow, and out Friday.
And the best possible theme song. Babu ba.
Babu babu babu. Ba bum.
That's awesome.
Ba ba boom 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 boom. She got a dog, and she and the dog are.
What do you think they're doing?
Right now?
Right now. Looking watching at, TV. They're watching.
I would think they're out looking at motorcycles.
Oh. Getting fitted for the leathers.
Wendy has said in the past she wants to get herself a dog and a Harley and just ride from one end of the country to the next with the dog and hum fish songs. So I hope that happens.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. She'll be back on Monday, but Dane, thank you very much for filling in today. Greatly appreciated. When you think of Easter, is there a candy that immediately comes to mind? Like, what is the official candy of Easter? Is there one that you can think of?
Well, with all of the, holidays throughout the calendar that we enjoy and celebrate, for kids, it kind of is a sliding scale of importance of whatever the real reason people are getting together, and then some of the trappings, the accoutrements, if you will, of the holiday for the kids, mm-hmm. right? Like Christmas, it's all about, the birth and all that. But really, for kids, it's presents, until it gets sure. to a certain point, right. and then it becomes presents for other people.
Yeah.
And Easter, it is about candy, right? It's about this hypothetical, fictional rabbit, right? That's got the desire to hide things that you can find.
Eggs for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why. Wouldn't it be a chicken that would come and hide eggs at your house? I don't know why it's a rabbit.
These are the mysteries, right? Yep. These are the things that keep you guessing. So when it comes to Easter has always been about candy. As much as Halloween is about candy, Easter is about candy. Getting as much candy, way more than you could ever eat mm-hmm. in one sitting. Gorging yourself and then dragging it out to the point where maybe a month or two later you're scraping the melted jelly beans off the bottom of the basket and
right.
kind of peeling that grass
off. The shelf life of the Halloween candy is not long. It's a very quick shelf life of how long before it goes bad.
The peanut butter chews and that popcorn ball, I might not get to really until December. So, the Crunch Bar, the Snickers that night or the next day.
Over at MSN, they have put together a chart of which of the the Easter candies are the best for you and the worst for you. I'll go through some of those, but I have to say that friends of ours would sometimes get gifts on Easter, like not quite to the extent of Christmas, nowhere near to the extent of Christmas, but the Easter Bunny would give them a toy or a couple of toys. Our Easter Bunny, the one that came to our house, it was always candy.
Well, sometimes in, the Easter Bunny, he works in mysterious ways, and sometimes his basket factory would be kind of a cellophane-wrapped basket.
I remember that, filled with things.
Green, bright green and pink plastic, typically.
Yeah.
And sometimes there was some sort of toy, maybe a squirt gun, something inside there.
Right, matchbox car.
There could be like a toy in there, right? A little... a little toy car that didn't roll well. A matchbox, I don't know if it was, but it kind of built into the whole scenario, so yeah.
I was made fun of by Wendy a few weeks ago when I said that one year we had a buttered lamb. I don't know. I guess they still make these. I don't know why this is an Easter thing, but you'd get a buttered lamb, and then on the Easter table, along with the rest of the food, you would put out this butter that was shaped like a lamb. And I didn't understand that that's the purpose of it. I thought, because I was so sugared up from all the candy, that it was just another fun treat to eat, and I ate a whole buttered lamb.
Well, typically, especially on, I think more so than any other candy-related holiday, the candy takes on the shape of animals. You've got the Peeps, you've got the Cadbury eggs, which I guess are just animals and they're embryonic.
So you wouldn't make fun, if I told you that, you wouldn't make fun of me. You would just go, well, of course.
I would say, let's pass the butter sheep. I'm going to take a bite out of that.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. All right, so here they are, the worst and the best of the candies for Easter. The worst, this is the worst thing you could do to your body, it says here. Now this is my favorite one. This is the one I like the most. The Reese's Easter peanut butter eggs. Those are so good.
Okay. These are, not often do you have a candy that not only is delicious and universally loved, but it's two great tastes that go great together.
Chocolate and peanut butter together.
And we've seen how it happened, whether it was a car accident or nuclear fission, when you've got that genius that brings those together. I think everything in moderation. Why is it bad for you? Is a bad idea, or is this a bad version? The cup form.
It says if you eat two pieces, and that's standard, I guess, you're ingesting 170 calories, 10 grams of fat, 120 milligrams of sodium, 19 grams of carbs, 4 grams of protein. Is that good or bad? The Reese's eggs are an Easter basket staple, it says, and a twist on the brand's beloved peanut butter cups. But don't let the gimmicky nature of this sweet treat fool you. 2 chocolate-covered egg packs in 10 grams of fat and 17 grams of sugar. That's the amount of the sweet stuff that you would find in 20 jelly beans. Yeah, but you can't compare the two. Jelly beans are one thing. Reese's peanut butter cups or eggs in this case, that's just pure deliciousness.
If you look at the average size of a jelly bean, I think it's probably commensurate. I mean, they probably take up about the same amount of space.
Right. But I would go Reese's peanut butter cups all day over...
At the end of the day, do you want to punish yourself, you know, and eat things which are maybe slightly less...
Yeah.
You know, filled with bad things, but don't taste nearly as good.
Right.
You can't
go wrong. Yep. You're right. Now, I don't know if you know this, but, well, you do know this. I've told you this before. Twice a year, I go on these things where I have absolutely no sugar or no food that's bad for me. And I always do October and November. I do October for obvious reasons. It's Halloween and there's candy everywhere. Yep. So I go from October 1st to my birthday, November 21st. That's 51 days. And then I also do April, because that's when Easter is. April 1st, I start it. So this year, it's tricky. You know, Easter is on April 1st, you know. So that's the day I'm going to start it, no sugar. I've probably saved myself 500 pounds over the years.
Oh, my gosh. Those are the times when you're just, you know, doing the air quotes again, going with the flow.
It's everywhere.
And it's everywhere. And so if you have a reason, some reason to put your foot down and say, like, no, can't do it. And you're pretty good at that, Bill. You know,
I stick to it.
Right. It's not like people can just like, well, come on, I just made it. You're like, nope, too bad. See me in a month.
I totally stick to it. Because I feel so good. I love sugar. I mean, I just, you know, I eat way too much of it in ice cream form or you name it. I find a way to have it and I love it. But when I'm doing this no sugar thing, and I also do, during that same period, I only drink water or club soda. There's no alcoholic beverages whatsoever.
How do you?
It just feels so good. Once you get through those first couple of days where you're sugar dependent, you're going, hey, where's the sugar I crave? You just feel good.
I mean, I've had times where I've like cut out salt and cut out sugar as much as I can. And once you get past that initial, like, really, I really want this.
You get used to it fast.
And you start to appreciate the way that you feel without it. If you've got a support system at home that understands this, it doesn't just... Oh,
no, they're good about it.
Yeah. Then
my family's really good about it. Yeah. But it's tough because then we go out to dinner with people and, you know, there's always the possibility of desserts and stuff. And, you know, but now by now, most of my friends know. This is one of those periods where he's just not having sugar. So it works all right. The second worst for you are the Twix Easter Caramel Cookie Bars.
Ooh. Well, if it's Twix and just shaped...
I've had this. Do you know what this is?
Well, I mean, Twix in general, for the people who are the uninitiated, it's kind of like a little, you know, cookie with some chocolate and caramel.
Caramel coated.
I don't think there's any nougat involved, which is a space-age copolymer created by the candy companies. Twix is pretty good. It's one of those popular things. It's in the team photo of good. And if they just make it into, you know, put a pastel wrapper on it,
right?
I'm good with that. I can't see how it would be bad.
Explain this to me because I don't understand this. I don't know that I've ever had this, the Twix Easter Caramel Cookie Bar. It says you no longer have to choose between a left and right Twix on Easter, but we wouldn't necessarily recommend picking up the egg either. I don't know what that means. I don't get that.
Well, because here's this thing. Part of their marketing strategy is they've got left Twix and right Twix. I think
you snap it in the middle, and then you can enjoy.
Well, no, they're two separate pieces for a Twix. It's two like logs, you know, kind of like a Butterfinger. No, Butterfingers are kind of small. Either way, so there's two separate pieces. They are identical, right? But in the marketing, they make the perception out that the left Twix is somehow made by different people.
Is that true?
Yes. And the right picks, it's not true.
But are they doing that?
Yeah, they absolutely
are. How is that getting past me?
Here's the thing what they should, okay, so these are candies that you know and love all year round and maybe more on Halloween. And I think that what the Easter candy lobby needs to get together, just like, let's say, champagne, or let's say tequila, where it has to be produced in a certain area in order to use the moniker of champagne, is that things like your Cadbury eggs or, you know, things that people really only, kind of like turkey, only enjoy during the holiday. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting muscled out by these, you know, you got Snickers muscled into this thing. You don't stand a chance.
Right. Because those are tried and true brand names.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned Cadbury. That's the third worst one for you, the Cadbury Cream Egg. I have to be honest with you.
Not every year,
but almost every year, I'll be like at a 7-Eleven, and there's a box of them right up front. And I go, oh, it's Easter time. I haven't had one of those in a while. And I'll buy one, and I sometimes don't even get all the way through the one. It's just like, oh, yeah, this tastes kind of the way I always remembered it. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's somewhere in the middle.
think it's just, if I remember correctly, so it's a chocolate egg, and once you break into it, there's like this rich, kind of sugary goop in there with,
that would look like an egg yolk.
Yes, with a little bit of yellow in there and some other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just really super sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy it, but I think
Do you know anyone who loves them? Like nobody I know in my family or friends is like, "Oh, I can't wait until the Cadbury eggs are back."
Yeah.
They're just kind of there.
Yeah, I think they're just kind of there, and I think they get a lot of exposure, and people buy them because it's, like you said, it's
seasonal.
Yeah, and they do the commercials. The commercials were very good.
Yeah, they were.
Yep.
Yep. To make you believe this is something you should be eating at Easter time.
Right.
Yeah. The Ghirardelli Hollow Milk Chocolate Bunny. Now, I've never had one from Ghirardelli, who make great chocolates.
Yes, they do.
I've had them from other companies. I like the fact that they're hollow, because then you're not getting too much chocolate. It's just the right amount of chocolate. Not too much. Because it's hollow inside.
And it's high-quality chocolate. So chocolate is one of those things that exists, and it's not like a banana is a banana is a banana.
Right.
There's chocolate, but there's a perception that, hey, chocolate is chocolate. You know it's not the case, right? Half of some of the cheaper chocolates is like wax and paraffins and things like that, and you've got the more, and the price goes along with it. You know, and this is I'll find myself, I'm sure, at some point, in the next week or two, like biting into, a pretty sizable chocolate bunny, biting the ears off. It's solid.
Yeah.
I don't know what the chocolate content is, because they get pretty reasonable.
But wouldn't you prefer a hollow one to one that has something inside? I like the hollow ones better. I think it's because you and I are in radio, and we're also hollow inside.
No.
So there's a kinship between us, those of us in radio, and the hollow Easter egg bunny.
Well, I think you really like, especially if it's made by a really great company. If you got your Godiva or some of our local companies.
Ghirardelli's up there.
Or Ghirardelli. Yeah, they're really good. So
is it Ghirardelli? I always say Ghirardelli.
Well, they say it's Ghirardelli, but yeah, what do they know?
They don't know.
No.
They're just guessing. All right. So that's one, that's high up on the list. And then also the Hershey's solid milk chocolate Easter bunny. So that one's not as bad for you. The solid one is not as bad for you as the hollow one?
Why would that be? Because it depends on, I'm not sure. I can't imagine. I guess it depends on what it's made of. The Hershey folks, they, know them and love them. They've had hits, big hits, right? Like the Kiss and, all the other things that they do. And the Hershey bar with almonds or without.
I always thought Hershey should sponsor the band Kiss, that would be a nice fitting tribute.
I'm not sure they
have
it. Well, Kiss is like, they can market everything. There's caskets and roller skates and everything with that logo.
Why wouldn't the guys from Kiss come out just wearing all silver, something that was really heavy at the bottom and then tapered up to the neck and had a little wrap around it? Would that be something Gene Simmons would be interested in?
Kind of a streamer coming out the top. Well, this is why this is a think tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should do it.
That's what it is. It's a think tank. Yep. All right. Also, poor for you, these are candies you might want to avoid. But I don't think you can avoid these. These are the staples of Easter.
I'm
going
to eat all of them.
I've also eaten staples on Easter. I don't mind those. The chocolate covered staples.
Oh,
so good.
Once you get past the chocolate, though,
it hurts. Hurts your tongue. The Reese's is mentioned a couple times here. Reese's Easter peanut butter cream eggs. I don't think I've had those.
Mm.
Why would you mess with it? The Reese's on itself is so good. Don't add cream to it. It's just delicious on its own. And then the Reese's Pieces Easter Pastel Eggs. Now, those I think I've had. Those are like a malted milk ones.
Well, it's Reese's Pieces. So you're going to have, and of course, made famous by E.T. and Steven Spielberg and all that. Those marketing geniuses. And so it's like a peanut butter center as opposed to chocolate like an M&M. And then the coating, instead of kind of your bright, normal, Crayola colors, they've got the pastel colors. So you feel Easterish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only difference. But that sounds good to me. Also on the list, the Cadbury mini eggs. These are almost all the same thing. The Reese's Easter peanut butter gold eggs. I don't know if I've ever seen those. It says, we've officially hit peak Reese's. These golden eggs are the worst of the bunch. They will set you back 20 grams of sugar each and 5 sugar packets worth. What? There's 5 packets of sugar in each Easter gold egg from Reese's? That can't be that much sugar.
Well, they stopped maybe at 4, and someone said, hey, we have some extra sugar laying around.
How could there be that much sugar in one?
I don't know.
That's too much, right?
Well, I mean, everything's sort of in moderation, but that's not the way it's going to be. The basket, and you just go to town.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you almost feel just like on Halloween or when they come back with their Valentine's candy, that it's almost kind of like a hands-off period.
Right.
Like, all right, just go
No rules.
Just eat your
jump
crate.
In.
Yeah, eat all the candy.
Want me to pour some sugar on that? Can I sift some sugar onto your candy basket?
Here's the syrup.
Dane, this is one high on their list of the worst candies for you for Easter. That is one of my favorites. I used to get these for my daughters all the time for Easter, knowing that they didn't like them because I liked them so much. Like, oh, I'll polish these off for you. These are the Butterfinger chocolate nest eggs from Butterfinger. Ooh. Now, if you're going to eat these, do me a favor. Don't bite right into it. You want to just kind of have it in your mouth for a while and let it dissolve.
Wow.
And then you know the stuff that's in Butterfinger?
Sure.
It's like a little, it's almost like a little, I can't even describe it. It's like a little chip or a nib or something that's in there. And I don't know what it is.
They're Folgers crystals, Bill.
Is it Folgers crystals that's in there? I didn't know that.
That's what it is, yeah.
So once you dissolve it, you get those floating around in your mouth along with some chocolate. Oh, it's so good.
It's kind of like a, what is that, right? It's kind of got like some of the properties of a peanut brittle kind of thing.
It used to be in, you remember Chocolate bars?
No.
You don't remember chocolate?
Right, I remember Charleston Chew, which has
Charleston
a lot of the same chis.
The sound is similar, yes, but it's a different flavoring. Chocolate bars also had it. That was a real rich milk chocolate. And again, it had these little, I can't even describe them.
They're like almost like little crystal shingly kind of like
they're
tiny.
They're crispy.
Yeah.
But if you get all the chocolate off, say you have it in your mouth for a while and you get all the chocolate off and you look at it, you still can't identify it. You're like, yeah, this is from another planet. I don't know what planet they got these on.
It's kind of like it's like candied shale rock or something.
Yeah, candied shale rock. That's what it is.
There you go. Crack that code.
That's exactly what it is. All right, let me just get through the rest of the worst of these. Hershey's Kisses carrot cake candy. Didn't know it existed.
Come on, who makes
this? I had no idea such a thing existed. Kit Kat Easter milk chocolate bunny ears. Not good for you. Dove Easter Milk Chocolate Candy Solid Easter Bunny Box. That just rolls off the tongue. That's easy to say. Can I help you? Yeah, I'd like the Dove Easter Milk Chocolate Candy Solid Easter Bunny Box,
please. You got the bunny box, right?
Yep. And then another one of the worst ones for you, the Lindt, L-A-N-D-T, not L-A-N-T, because Lindt and chocolate together are not. That's not a good combination. Yeah. The Lindt Chocolate Carrots. Did you ever hear of these? I've never even heard of this.
Lindt is a chocolate company, so they're
from Germany,
famous.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. And not like the Lindt, which is from the dryer.
Cheaper. Just here's a money saving tip for those of you on a budget: just scoop up some of the Lindt from the Lindt trap in your dryer,
drizzle
of chocolate. Yeah. Don't overdo it. Just a little drizzle of chocolate with the Lindt
in the microwave for maybe 10 seconds.
You will have the kids' attention. What are these? I don't think we've had these before. Linty.
Yeah.
Linty. All right. So all of those, if you're looking, you know, obviously Easter is a time of taking care of yourself.
We didn't even get to the peeps, though. Are the peeps on
peeps,
there?
It says peeps it's
surprisingly
not that bad
healthy.
For you.
Nice.
The healthiest thing you can do for yourself is enjoy some peeps, it says here.
Very well.
All right. We'll discover more of these next. Judy Pilak's on her way in. She'll give you the news. It's Bill and Dane and Fuendi on WGN. Judy, I know you have to go. Things are very hectic in the newsroom.
Always,
because there's news. The news never stops.
Never stops, 24/7.
It's always something newsworthy. It's always taking place. Can you just give people a little preview of what they'll be hearing tomorrow when you and I co-host together? What sort of thing can we expect?
Well,
broadcast excellence.
Lots of laughs.
But responsible ones.
Absolutely.
In moderation.
We're not going to overdo the laughs.
There'll be some sketchy times.
Few. So there will be some good and some bad.
Some irreverence.
Yeah. You know what? Let's sum it up. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
That's what I'm envisioning for tomorrow. If my phone rings, that will be the ringtone.
How's that go?
That's pretty good.
And whenever, Sergio Leone.
Yeah, whenever it goes off, I think to myself, ugh, this is good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah. You know, Wendy teases me a lot because I watch The View almost every day, and I was watching it last week. Hey, I can hear you guys laughing at me.
I only watch The View when I'm at the nail salon for some reason. It's always
Can I tell you something odd? That's where I watch it, too. The nail salon.
Care.
So the other day, during The View, they cut back. They were at a commercial, and they cut back to the ladies of The View, and they always come at it from the camera angle. It's like a side angle. It's like a cameraman who's roving around.
Whoop.
And Joy Behar is on the phone texting something, and she's quickly finishing up a text, and then they start their discussion, and Joy's phone goes off. It's national television, and Whoopi Goldberg calls her out on it. She goes, "That's not your phone, is it?" And it was. It was her phone right there on live TV going off. How about that?
And what did Joy say?
Right on The
say?
View. She was very apologetic.
Yeah. I would think she'd either give it right back or say,
if it was somebody else, Joy would have been all over them. You can't do that during The View.
Unless it's like a big guest or something.
I guess.
You want to know what's happening. What if it was, you know, an alert?
Oh.
See?
You could tell by her face it was not.
Right.
You could tell it was just...
It was said, your dry cleaning is ready.
Right. Right. When I started working here, I would get a call almost daily, not every day, but several times a week from people going, hey, you're on the air right now. And I knew that because I was on the air right then. The people would point
that
out to me.
Amazing.
Hey, we're listening to you right now.
30 years later, what time are you on?
I know.
I'm like, just forget it, Dad.
I know.
Just don't even ask me again.
Was it your dad usually doing it?
And he's like, I listened from 8 to noon. I didn't even hear you.
I'm
like, yeah,
no.
It's because I'm not on then. I mean, people
That's
are
so
crazy,
funny.
Right?
That's very funny. Yeah. All right, so tomorrow it's Judy and myself. Judy will be co-hosting with me.
I will leave my phone on.
Just in case your dad calls.
I think he'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, or an Amber Alert or something.
Yeah. My dad will call to ask me what time I'm on. Bye, boys.
Did you know Judy's father is Stan Lee?
I didn't. I was not aware
if
of that.
If he was Stan Lee, I'd be like... Well, I love my
You'd
dad.
The money.
Come on.
You'd rather have Stan Lee, though.
That was a nice catch, though, Judy. Because you implied that maybe you'd be even more excited.
Yeah, I love my dad, Stan Lee, but if Stan Lee was my dad.
Then you got something. Then you got something.
Yeah.
All right, Judy, I look forward to working with you tomorrow.
Me too.
Dane, how often do you spend on Facebook? Are you on Facebook a lot?
Not really. No.
Was there a time where you were?
No, never.
Never?
Not
Good
really.
For you.
I mean, you use it kind of, you can post things from different shows and everything, but I saw it initially as kind of like an intrusion, you know, like, oh, you got to put all these pictures up and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't necessarily something that I did. So, I mean, I do it a little bit. You almost have to now, right? But
although maybe not. Like I would, a year ago, if you would have said that, you almost have to now, I'd go, yeah, you kind of do. But now more and more people are deleting their Facebook accounts. Some because of the recent news that the information has filtered to political sources and they're using that almost to target you for certain things. So some people go, well, I don't want that to happen. I'm done with Facebook.
I think part of the education they've kind of come out and talked about as they break down, you know, what happened or with the Cambridge Analytica and how the information is being used is shocking to some people. I don't know why it would be there's got to be some give and take. They're giving you this free opportunity. It isn't just so that you can, you know, get a hold of your old friends in high school, right? They're using that information to be able to sell ads and then whatever else that information is. It's so much personal stuff.
I said to Bridget Carey a week ago, we have Bridget on every Tuesday to talk about the tech world. She's from CNET. And I said to her, I know a lot of people are shocked, but I've assumed this from day one of Facebook, that all that information is there to take as you please. Somebody's taking it. There's no way in the world somebody's not benefiting off of this wealth of information that's available through Facebook.
You had to figure early on that, you know, maybe the best of intentions and that kind of stuff. But early on, even if they didn't know how they were going to use it or didn't best know how to market it to people or didn't even have takers for it, I'm sure they knew that there's value here,
right?
Just like in any other marketing, direct marketing, you know, all those lists that you know, salespeople used to get. Now you've got, and if you can distill it down to where you really know these people, not just, hey, this is this demographic in general. There's some real value there. You got to figure out why is the company worth, you know, billions of dollars? Well, that's why.
Well, so many people, and myself included, in the early days, you couldn't figure out how they're making so much money. You'd hear about the money Facebook is making, and you go, well, no one's paying for it. How are they making all that kind of money? And now we know how. There's a trickle-down theory with the information that's on
there. It's access to you, and we've heard, you know, the pundits on television talk, well, you realize there's some give and take, that because you get to do this and it's fun and you get to, you know, send pictures of your new puppy, you know, or whatever, and then you have some concessions. You understand that they're going to have sort of access, but I think that people just thought, like, well, either this isn't really interesting or what would they even want to do with it?
Right.
But there's people out there that want to, you know, because... Anytime you look up anything or you do something, boom, you'll get ads. It used to kind of surprise me, like, wow, this must be really
bad. Ads instantaneously.
How do they know about this dog
food commercial?
If you're
searching, I'll give you an example from last year. We were looking for a place to stay on vacation in Mexico, in a certain place in Mexico. And we went to after searching for different hotels and stuff, I was on Facebook 10 minutes later with all kinds of places to stay in that region of Mexico. That's interesting. Same thing with eBay. If you're looking for something on eBay, all of a sudden on your Facebook feed is similar items. So everybody's in bed with everybody.
Yep. I mean, the whole advertising situation has changed so much. And, you know, you're working in this medium where you think, okay, commercials and all those kind of things, and they work and they're there. But people have gotten creative on different ways to reach people. And like Facebook, I think, is there anything else quite like Facebook? You look at maybe a Twitter and Instagram, you got pictures, but it's not so much personal information.
Right.
Facebook, like, it's the gobs. Whole thing.
Everything's there. Well, Mark Zuckerberg has since apologized profusely. He's taken out big ads in newspapers all over the country to say, we're going to do this better. I promise. I'm
Is
sorry
that a mistake,
for what's
Bill?
Going on.
Is it? Because I was surprised that he came out and said sorry.
No, I think he needed to do that. I think he needed to, don't you?
Well, I think he needed to and should have, but I don't know from a business standpoint if
that was a good move.
Yeah, because once you say I'm sorry, it's right. Like, okay, well, then you need to make this right because right. You've accepted responsibility. I expected them to go more along the line of, like everyone else, we were deceived by this company and we're mad too. You know,
I think they kind of, in not those words, but in similar tone, I think that was also intimated, but now he is taking some ownership saying, kind of screwed up, going to do a much better job in the future. And I know they've already taken some measures to be safer about that sort of thing, how the information that they have on you, on your Facebook page is distributed. So maybe that's good. Maybe that's not good. Maybe we need more than that. Here's the Facebook story, though, that interests me. A woman has been arrested after being seen giving marijuana to her one-year-old on Facebook.
Oh, jeez.
A North Carolina mother was arrested on Wednesday after allegedly forcing her one-year-old child to inhale marijuana and then showed it on her Facebook video feed. Good move, by the way. Brianna Ashanti Lofton, age 20, was charged with two counts of felony child abuse, contributing to the delinquency and possession of marijuana, according to an arrest warrant obtained by ABC affiliate WTVD. Now, we've seen this in the past with people who commit crimes and have a Facebook feed. If the idea of Facebook is to distribute whatever you're doing, maybe it's a picture, maybe it's a video, maybe it's an idea, so you put it on Facebook so that others can see it. If you're doing something illegal, others are going to see it. You can't be surprised by that. That's how it happens. That's cause and effect, right? That's the most basic example of cause and effect in the world. You do something wrong, you post it on a website that's built for others to see it, you're going to get nabbed.
You have to, and I know law enforcement is paying a lot more attention to this just because it's like the low-hanging
sure.
fruit. It's pretty easy. Like, hey, go online and see who's doing what. But it never ceases to amaze me where you have people. This is one, I don't think that there's any debate over whether this is, you know, bad and illegal and ill-advised and all those things. You have some where parents are doing things like posing their kids in different ways with weapons where the kid really probably isn't in any danger and the parents just think it's funny, although it's not and probably illegal. But when you have people robbing banks, you know, and putting the footage up on the, I mean, do you want to get away with it or not?
Well, there was a guy a couple of weeks ago who was killed. He was doing some kind of what is it called? It's like not a stream show or something like that, but he just had his camera out and on him, and he was doing Facebook Live.
Facebook Live, okay.
Facebook Live, right? And then he was in some drug-infested area showing how dangerous that place was, and some guy shot him. And it's all there, right there.
Whoa.
On Facebook. I watched it. I mean, I wasn't watching it live when it happened. I saw one of the news stories reporting it, and they showed the footage. It's horrible.
Well, they've had some of these different killers, not necessarily the school shootings, but, you know, in the news a lot, but there's been a couple of them where a person just goes live on Facebook and then either kills someone or, you know,
or themselves.
Killed the correspondents, right, and then killed themselves.
Yeah.
You wonder just to protect people because it's all open for everybody. There's no stopgaps, I think, for kids or people who shouldn't be watching that stuff, if anybody should. But there's a lot. Facebook has pretty much been the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
And I think now that you have the government kind of stepping in, I'm not sure what that's going to do. But I think you're seeing a lot of people who have participated step away and saying, if you don't know what's happening with our information, we need to be proactive,
right,
and kind
sure.
of protect ourselves.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that are happening on Facebook that they just need to kind of tighten it up, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Raleigh police became aware of the video after a man in Rochester, New York, posted the video online, again, according to WTVD. This is a woman in North Carolina, a mother of a one-year-old, who forced her baby to inhale marijuana and then posted it on her Facebook page. Big thanks to everybody who posted information about the smoking mother and baby, the department wrote in the Facebook post. Thanks to your willingness to get involved, the child is now safe and the mother is in police custody. Lofton was set to meet, this is the woman, the mother, Brianna Lofton, age 20. Lofton was set to meet with Wake County magistrates on Wednesday evening and was being held on a $100,000 bond with a court appearance scheduled for Thursday. She'd been arrested four previous times, all last summer, on various misdemeanors, including simple assault. The child was placed in the care of Wake County Child Protective Services. A 20-year-old North Carolina mother. That's part of what I just read. So, does she get this kid back anytime soon after this? I doubt it.
I can't imagine. You know, there are a lot of different situations where judges, you know, and they feel and they put the weight on trying to reunite the family. And if she does, you know, certain things where she understands, this is a real big gap between the understanding of what you should and shouldn't do, understands that it's wrong and does some kind of counseling or treatment or whatever, you know, I think typically they'll try to get the family back together, but she's got a long way to go.
How about the people who...
And this is what she decided to put on there.
Right.
You know, who knows?
This was a free choice. I know what I'll post. I'm making the kid ingest marijuana fumes. Right. This will be funny. Everybody will enjoy this. There was a warning out about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, from people who post, you know, if they're on vacation, they'll post instantaneous pictures or video of them somewhere else. So when you post that on Facebook, that's a red flag to potential thieves to say, oh, the whole family's away. They're all on vacation in Venezuela. What better time to rob them than right now?
And you know that there's the ability, if you go through, you know, somebody's, and this is part of, I just think it's kind of an intrusion in a lot of different ways. It's like if you go through their feed or whatever, or figure out how to, you know, tap into it, it can't be hard, I don't think. And you could see, like, you know, where where they live. A lot of times got their contact information.
Oh, yeah.
Probably got their pictures of their house with an address on it. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're an enterprising bad guy, you know.
And if you're going to be a bad guy, Dane, be an enterprising bad guy.
You probably could type in and ask them, like, when are you guys going to be back?
Right. Just curious. Just wondering. Are you guys going to stay a few more days, a week? How long are you going to be gone?
We're loving it here. We'll be here till Wednesday.
Right. Please stay. There's no hurry. You just enjoy your vacation. So, you know, the warnings are obvious. You have to be very, very careful of what you post. And then we're leaving out the most obvious one, which is potential employers who, if you're a kid and you're posting weird stuff on your Facebook page, and then a year later when you're trying to get a job and they go back through your history and they find it, it's not going to bode well for you.
Well, they've said that when it comes to, you know, either the resume or the employment or the job interview, that you need to kind of update things and kind of make it seem more professional. So if your email address is like partyboymike or something 12, then you should probably like change it to something else.
But the partyboy 18, because this is 2018.
Get current with this partyboy.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah, come on, man. Or party man.
Party man now.
You've grown up. You've matured. Yeah, I guess so. And I don't even know if it's just kids. I think that they do it for everybody now, right? Because the first time, like, you'll hear, even if it's someone, whether you're thinking of them for a guest or even just someone says something that, you know, hey, do you know this? Mm-hmm. You know, you'll like Google and see, because most everybody has some kind of presence online.
Right.
And if you see a lot of crazy stuff or, you know, just kind of bad, or maybe some crime videos where they're participating in, it would make you think twice. And so you have to think that. But then I think of the internet, is most of that stuff kind of lives forever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you always have the ability to take the past away.
Do you ever try to look somebody up, like you'll throw them through Google or Bing or something like that, and nothing comes up and you know they exist? It's somebody you know. And you go, how are you able to not be found on the internet at this point?
Well, if you're
there's some mention of everything on the internet.
Well, not everybody has or cares to have like a social media presence. Like, they're not out there.
Right.
You know, for Twitter, for, you know, radio or things like that, I think it's important. But if you're just not into that, maybe if you're a driver for Jimmy John's or something, they're
keep a low profile.
They don't have you on the website as like, meet our team. You know, I think at some point.
But if I put your name, like if I was Googling you, I would find thousands of references to you. I know you're high profile. For obvious reasons.
But then, that's my email, high profile.
There was a guy that I went to school with years ago that I wanted to contact for something, and I threw him through Google, and the only thing I could find from on the whole internet, on the entire internet, was some LinkedIn thing where somebody mentioned him on LinkedIn years ago. That was it.
Well, I think now you, like for LinkedIn, you mentioned it. It used to be sort of like Facebook for business. I think that's kind of really what they're hoping to do, but it would link in with everybody that you ever knew. So for someone like yourself, if someone wanted to partner and get you on LinkedIn, then they would just have all of your contacts, which was never really comfortable for me. But nowadays, you almost need to do it. You know, you almost need to get on there and do it. But to try to control it, that's where you, I think, got to draw the line.
Do you think the internet will last? I think it's over. I think it's done.
I think it's jumped the shark.
Right. The internet has jumped the shark. It's probably got another 6 to 8 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then what will it be replaced by? CB radios again, I bet.
But think about this, Bill. With all the technology that's out there, and you think about, you know, you growing up and what you, as far as like even remembering everybody's phone numbers or how to get to everybody's house. What would you do without it? Has changed the way all businesses work.
Because society
work.
Is so used to it now that if for some reason it went away, I don't know why.
I mean, if something happened.
Let's say some foreign entity wanted to screw with us and they put a block on our internet, we couldn't have it anymore. Would society crumble?
Hopefully,
would we be better off?
Hopefully the Yellow Pages folks, you know, can start up that old printing press. Otherwise,
quickly.
How would you get a hold of anything?
Right.
I mean, even remember like finding a phone number, you'd call information, a lady would answer.
Yeah.
I mean,
right. Where is she today?
She is.
Google her.
She's waiting for that call.
She wants somebody to talk to. All right, let's do this. The boys from Sports Central will be in. We'll find out what they've got coming up in just a little bit. Stick around for that. It's Bill Leff and Dane Neal in for Wendy on WGN.